still, it's, you know, Albert Fish ones. I'm not, you know, it's just for special occasion.
It left a bad taste in your mouth so bad that you couldn't do the sensual bit.
I don't want to, because I just, it's just, yeah.
No. Not this time. Hello, my little Chilluminauts. Not this time.
Not this.
Doesn't, you know what? Yeah. No.
Not this time.
Welcome to Leveling Up. We leveled up Chilluminati with Albert Fish. Congrats.
You know what? I'm fine de-leveling.
What do you mean we leveled up Chilluminati?
You went up to the next level of true crime.
Can we go back?
Yeah. No. Do we have to keep going?
No, it just gets weirder and worse.
All right.
But we're not going to do that anytime in the near future anyway. A little breather. Welcome to the Minnesota, everybody, where we talk about weird shit happening around the world. I'm going to start because mine's short, and it's happening in my home state of Rhode Island. It's fucking hilarious. So you all know the Conjuring movies, of course.
Yeah.
I have never seen them, but I know them.
Yeah, I know basically what they're about, the Warrens.
Yeah, the Warrens and all that nonsense. So a former employee of this infamous Conjuring house, because, you know, tours and haunted shit.
I think you can actually, like, rent it now.
Oh, can you? Okay.
I don't know. I think you can, like, stay there or something.
Is that real? Maybe.
Not, like, permanently, but I mean, like, I'm pretty sure the Conjuring house, you could rent, like, an overnight thing.
That'd be cool.
Interesting.
But a former employee of this place says the establishment owner fired him, not because of any evidence-based reasons, but she claimed the site's resident ghost accused him of stealing. This report came out about last month when Jacqueline Nunez, who owns and operates the purportedly haunted Rhode Island residence, dismissed Brian Densereau from his job as a staff member of the spooky attraction. In explaining her decision, she provided a rather weird reason for the unexpected turn of events. Incredibly, Nunez told him that the spirit of the home's former owner from the 1800s, John Arnold, had revealed to her, an alleged psychic medium, that Densereau had been, quote, stealing money out of the cash box for the past 2 months. As one might imagine, the accusation kind of confused the fuck out of him. He said, quote, I literally stopped and I had no correct, and I had to correct her, like, John Arnold, one of the original owners. And lest one thinks he simply made this story up for why he no longer works there, Nunez actually confirmed this account of his firing to a local television station, specifically saying that her decision was influenced by insights imparted by the spirits that reside at the house, saying, quote, it does not matter whether you believe in the paranormal or not.
You must acquit.
I and every person is entitled to experiences that bring understanding and meaning to our lives, including being informed or warned about wicked actors and actions. And obviously, for his part, he vehemently denies that he did any of this. Obviously, he says that he expressed skepticism about her reasoning, saying, quote, for a spirit to go after a staff member in that manner, I've never heard of such a thing at any haunted venue, let alone the Conjuring House.
You'd think that it might. Like,
she claims he owes him over $9,000. He says she owes him over $9,000 in back wages and is likely going to take her to court. So you can see why maybe she's like, well, you were stealing money. I'm not going to have to pay you now. Goodbye. The spirits told me you were stealing money. So I hope he takes her to court and I hope he wins. That's fucking crazy.
I must stress to you all, you can 100% book time, but it's not the actual house. This is very bizarre. So basically, they have glamping set up all over the area. There are 8 sites available on the grounds for you to camp at, ranging from a beautiful tent to a trailer to a bunch of, like, there's all sorts of weird places to stay. But the most interesting part is they say it's $400 a night, roughly. And you can put 4 people in one of these things, right?
Yeah. Okay.
And they say show up at 5 p.m. Do not come early unless you've booked an extended tour. Then you get a guided tour of the land, not the house. Must book separate tour. Then the merchandising room opens up 6:30 to 7 p.m. 7 p.m., your overnight investigation begins. You can investigate anywhere on the property, including around other campsites. By 10, you got to be quiet. 1 a.m., you can investigate by your own tent, is what it says.
Oh, wow.
And then there's a 50-foot buffer. Like, you're like, four, like, yeah, you can't. You.
Yeah, have your own fucking ghost experiences.
Then 9 a.m. merchandise room, and then 10 a.m. get out.
Hilarious.
Like, it's so weird to me that your main thing, you have to then book another thing to go in the house.
They did.
Really been like, yeah, we're going to nickel and dime every cent we can out of you.
That's crazy. God, fuck that place. Don't go there, anybody. Don't give them money.
I saw you could visit the house, like the Palmer house from Twin Peaks, too. But I don't know what the vibe is on that. I didn't really look at it.
What if I, like, went there and told her the ghost told me I own this place now?
That would be kind of funny, actually.
Yeah. The owners, they told me I mean,
you know what, though? I'm sure she's heard that. I'm sure they've heard that before.
Maybe. That's my piece of news. Who wants to go next, boys?
Oh, wait a minute. Now I'm looking at this. Hold on. Sit for a viewing of Twin Peaks Fire Walk with me in the house. That's so funny. Okay. all right. I got another one from Reddit for you guys. I thought this one was really interesting. Our Paranormal is by Frankie Valium. Great, great username. But this one is, it has a trigger warning up top on Reddit, so I figure I should say it. It's called Being Haunted by My Very Alive Husband. I think it has to do with like domestic and like spousal abuse. So
gotcha.
What is happening to this show?
This is just an interesting
about like Bigfoot and chupacabras.
Well, just listen to what happens. Just listen to what happens because it's kind of interesting, right? So curious to know if this has happened to anyone else. Without going into too much detail, I used to live in a house with my ex-partner who is emotionally and verbally abusive. He made the house extremely tense with his fits of rage, followed by days and weeks of silence. Most of my friends stopped coming over because of the energy of the house. I mean, you could feel tension just when you walked in, but I was very used to it being his wife. I had my first occurrence in the first house we shared that was a late 80s Cape Cod. I moved in after we got engaged, and for the first 6 months, everything was great and normal. Sometimes my dog would bark incessantly at the end of the hallway at nothing in particular, and I'd pick up on some old house creaks. Eventually, we got married and continued to live there while looking for a newer home. When my husband started a night shift job, things changed. While still in the Cape Cod, we began to argue and he would follow me around the house yelling at me until I solved things by apologizing and catering to him and we'd move on. His attitude became hostile and I began my career of walking on eggshells. Things were fine as long as he was happy. He was happy as long as I had meals made, clean house, brought home money, didn't see my friends, let him do whatever he want, left him alone, didn't look upset or look unhappy, didn't talk too loud or too quiet, didn't move too much in my sleep, did his laundry, color-coded his clothes when I put them away, all facing the same direction, didn't try to talk to him before dinner, right after dinner, and definitely not in bed. You get the gist. He sounds like, speaking of Twin Peaks, he sounds like fucking Leo from Twin Peaks. True asshole. The first night I saw the shadow figure, I was home alone and he was working. I woke up in the middle of the night to him on his side of the bed, holding what looked like his cell phone. I could see his shoulder outline and the screen from his phone. I was surprised he was home early, but did not want to make him angry by asking about it, so I pretended to sleep. After a few minutes, he hadn't moved at all, so I reached to grab my phone and I checked the time, 3-something a.m. I turn over to him and ask if he's okay, and he's just standing there looking at me. I could see his outline, his ears and shoulders. It was like he was darker than the darkness. He was just standing there. My fight or flight sank in, and I immediately took my pillow and threw it at him and grabbed my phone and ran out of the house. No one had broken in. No one was in there. I didn't sleep that night. Fast forward a year to the new house, and I mean new. My ex had money, so new Ryan home cookie cutter built for us in a residential neighborhood. At first, little things would happen. Lights on and off, TV acting up, all ignorable. He had become worse, harder to appease and harder to understand. The silent treatment would last weeks, and there would be such intense tension from the two of us that it was heavy. One night at 3 a.m., our fire alarm, in our bedroom only, went off. Later that week, my girlfriend and I were in the living room, and we heard running upstairs, coming from no one. I have no kids, my dog is always glued to my hip, and my ex was sleeping. Things went on like this, lights would flash on and off, items would move around or get completely lost, the TV would come on in the middle of the night, and also our house was struck by lightning twice. Towards the end of the marriage, when his abuse was bordering on violent, I saw his shadow again. We had some sort of fight the week prior, and he had pulled silent treatment ever since. Again, he was at work. I woke up in the middle of the night to footsteps at the foot of the bed, and when I opened my eyes, the exact same shadow was on his same side of the bed. The odd thing this time was it was definitely him, but he had short hair. It looked like the shadow of him from our time at the older house. My ex at that time had grown his hair out to his shoulders, so I knew it wasn't him, but it was him, staring again from his side of the bed. In my sleepy, worn-down best, I ignored it, and I went back to sleep. I felt like it wasn't me that thing was directed at. I wouldn't say I felt safe with it, but I just knew the darkness wasn't mine, if that makes sense. This is way longer than I intended, but is anyone familiar with being haunted by the living? Kind of interesting, right?
It's weird. It makes
me
feel sad.
I don't
sad.
Know that I even understand.
It's like, while her husband is still alive, she's being haunted by like some entity that maybe is his dark energy, is what she's suggesting, kind of somewhat.
Okay.
She's kind of suggesting that maybe the vibes that she's encountering are like either vibes that are like from his damage that he's done to her and she's generating them, or it's something that he's left behind in the house that's like a psychic impression of himself that's just angry, you know, like, I don't know. But I mean,
like, she went through a lot of trauma.
Yeah.
You know, with him. You know, here's a book recommendation for all you out there who will go through mental health stuff and trauma. There's a wonderful book my therapist recommended to me, and I would recommend to everybody. It's called The Body Keeps the Score. And it's the idea that when you go through trauma, even if you push it down or put it away, whatever, your brain and chemistry and shit physically change from that trauma, whether you had like shove it down or not. And that by dealing with it, you can kind of heal it. And that can do things like create alien abduction scenarios, create sure. ghost-like scenarios. And so she might be seeing this thing, but it might be just her, if she hasn't like truly dealt with it in like, and I'm just taking a stab in the dark, obviously, but if she hasn't truly dealt with it, it could be her brain dealing with the trauma that she was left with after years of living with this guy and not being able to sleep. Because if she was sleeping on eggshells for years, you don't just get to move out and then sleep okay. It doesn't work like that. And your brain will do wild things to try and keep your body in that stasis of emergency even after you've left.
It's like your own personal Silent Hill, basically.
It really is. And so whether that's the case or not, but I take that just because, you know, I've been in the mental health world basically my whole life. And like, that's one of the things that like I had to learn is like, even getting myself out of a traumatic scenario, my body clung to the anxiety, unable to sleep, unable to like, you know, operate properly for years. And it's something you just struggle with. So if she hasn't dealt with it, I wonder if she's seeing the shadow of her husband, this dark energy, this thing that could have been. Yeah. Sorry. I'm kind of like, I went off on a tangent there, but that's what
I mean, she's
like.
Kind of saying, I hear what you're saying. And a lot of the comments are kind of like in line with that.
Sure. Sure.
But there's lots of people who are also experiencing similar things where they're saying like, there's a verbally abusive or physically, emotionally abusive person in the relationship. And they have like dark figures and stuff that like have a similar presence to their abuser. Right. But the difference is now that these people are saying that other people in the house also are afraid to go into these parts of the house because they're feeling like evil vibes because of how much like anger and stuff is there. So yeah. I don't know what the truth is. Right. And I'm sure that the truth is kind of both. Right.
Yeah. I'm sure like we'll never know the actual truth, obviously, and whatnot.
Right. But I think this isn't the first time I've heard of something like this. And I think it's really just kind of interesting. I will say, though, user Lizzie Meow asked, since leaving him, do you still see the shadow figure? Sorry if this was already answered. The way your story sounds, I think he was possessed by a demon. Demons can take the form of other people. And Frankie Valium said, I no longer see it. Since leaving, I've not had anything like that happen to me except in nightmares. And then she does the colon with the,
you know,
the kind of.
Yeah, I mean, it's a fascinating story either way. And I'm just glad she's out of that situation and safe. Like, that's the fucking key part. And the fact that there's a weird ghost story that comes out of it is at least kind of cool.
And I think there's something about a story like this that kind of speaks to the heart of these types of feelings about evil spirits and stuff in general. Like, I don't know what it is. I don't know, like, what that connection is. But something about this story feels very much like the type of thing that would happen to somebody. And then they'd write, like, one of the classic ghost stories of the 1800s. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, yeah. Jesse, shall you?
Hey, y'all aware there's people stuck in space?
Yes.
Yes.
They've been there for a while.
Is that, I feel like the world just skipped right. over that. Yeah.
It's like another Boeing oopsie, right?
Yep.
It is, in fact, a Boeing oopsie. Yes. Barry Wilmore and Sunita Williams are two Boeing Starliner pilots, I guess, space astronauts of the Boeing variety, who arrived in the International Space Station. Space Station? Space Station? June 6th, and have been there ever since. They got up there via the Boeing Starliner, and then right after they got connected with the space station, they realized there was something wrong with the thrusters. On
the first time they were going to launch, they had to stop the launch because there was something broken with it.
Yo, I'm starting to think Boeing might be a shit company.
It's almost like you should have competition and not be in a monopoly.
Dude, the John Oliver was so the John Oliver about it was so informative. Like, if you if you want to know what the fuck is up with Boeing, it's that McDonnell Douglas bought them and took over and applied their shitty, like corporate structure to like one of the great American companies and ate it from the inside for profit.
And
pretty familiar story.
Pretty insane. Yeah, it's one of those weird things where that hamburger chain you used to like, now it sucks. Boy, that seems. The exact same thing, except on a different scale.
Sure are a lot of those happening lately, right?
Yeah.
How weird. And,
this is unfortunate that we're here, but it becomes even more funny because now it's like a weird corporate intrigue thing. So these people, again, have been stuck in space since June 6th.
Multiple Boeing whistleblowers dead, by the way.
Yes, yes. And so NASA was like, okay, don't worry. They're not stuck, guys. They're fine. Everything's going to be good. We will get them home. We have plans that we're going to get them back. They aren't stranded. It's going to happen. So the first plan was, what if we send a SpaceX ship with two people instead of four to go to the space station, and then we'll just bring them back on that. But Boeing, because Boeing is like, no, 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 no. Now, originally, SpaceX is supposed to have a launch August 18th. But as of yesterday, NASA announced that we're pushing that back to September 24th.
What the
fuck? And then they can finalize plans for the Starliner's return.
Can you imagine getting this
Boeing
news?
Made a statement last Friday that said they remain confident the aircraft will be ready and able to return safely with the crew. All of this, they're literally keeping two people in space because Boeing refuses to cede that their spaceship sucked. And so they don't want to give SpaceX control.
Gotta meanwhile, NASA's like, dude, think of the shareholders.
We got two people stuck in space.
There's going to be like two assassins flying up to space to kill them on the behalf of the Boeing CEO or whatever.
I can't imagine being the two.
Allegedly.
Yeah, allegedly. I can't imagine being the two that are stuck and just getting the news constantly. And just, I would have a panic attack, I'm sure. I'd be like, holy fuck.
Fuck that, dude. That's just you're stuck in space because of late stage capitalism. That's like the lamest horror movie ever.
Yeah. The worst part is that Boeing said, look, no matter what, we're going to get the Starliner back. So I feel like their plan is, even if they can't put people on board it, to return it literally just for stock prices. Because if they don't land it and they then like, boy, oh, our stock's going to go. We got to bring it back. Like, we can say it's so goofy. That this is where we're at. Since I get it, the space station, they're stocked. They're like, fine, right? But they were supposed to be up for 8 days.
Dude, that's scary as shit. That's scary. Oh, man, having to pee and shit and sleep in space. And
getting the email or whatever they're getting, like whatever like piece of communication they're getting, and they're like, well, settle up.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy. You're stuck here now, you son of a bitch. Just like everybody here at patreon.com/Illuminati Pod.
Thank you guys so much for getting stuck in here with us. So
we appreciate
nice you.
We'll be back next week with another minisode. We're going to let you go back home to Earth. We'll get you back up here on the Starliner next week.
I got to go to the dentist.
Yeah, you'll be at the dentist. Dentist wedding. It's just a rough time for Alex. So thank you for supporting us. We super appreciate it. We'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye.